the Talking Tigers podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
He came to Auburn as an All-American high jumper. Justin Stuckey has made a name for himself on the plains, getting ready for his next career in the media. Perhaps you've seen Saturdays with Stuck as he cruises around tailgates prior to and after Auburn football games. His travels have led him to work on College Game Day and this year's Final Four in Phoenix. From Helena, Alabama, Justin Stuckey is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health.
Welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast. Very glad to have with us today Justin Stuckey. You've probably seen clips of Justin, many different platforms that he has taken advantage of at Auburn. May not know that he's an Auburn high jumper.
Oh, yeah.
That's what brought him to Auburn from Sanford. Glad to have you with us today.
War Eagle.
You have been given some opportunities, and to your credit, you have taken advantage of the opportunity. Do you remember the first chance you got to get in front of a camera to kind of show the world Justin Stuckey?
I would say my on-camera work started with my vlogs that I used to do. I used to do a lot of vlogs when I was at Sanford in track and field world, really just wanting to create moments and have stuff to look back on as we were traveling across the country, competing and having fun with my friends. And kind of, you know, took off from there. And as I decided to come into Auburn, that's when I decided to start my podcast, Stuck in My Thoughts. And so that would be really the first time.
How did the vlogs come about for you?
So there was a track runner in Kentucky. Her name was Masai Russell, and she was doing vlogs. And I used to enjoy watching her vlogs, and she was going to track meets that I wasn't good enough to go to at the time. So I was like, man, I want to see what that experience is like. And I was like, man, let me just embrace what I've got going on and make vlogs and show people who may be in high school or in college as well what we're doing, because I'm proud of where I'm at right now. And so I started on my phone, and I just used to record around, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just started going and be like, hey guys, what's up? What you guys got going on? And just going from there, showing everybody what it's like to be a student athlete.
Out of high school, you're a three-sport guy. You play football, basketball, and you run, jump, track and field. What was your favorite sport?
Favorite sport is definitely basketball. Basketball was my first love, always be my first love, growing up playing in a small town in Helena, Alabama, and just growing up in grassroots basketball and then getting into a great AAU program with Team Carroll Premier, who was on the Adidas circuit there, growing up playing AAU. And then getting to my senior year at Helena, we were really good. We were 30-3 my senior year. So basketball was always my first love.
Helena, it's an interesting school because there's folks like yourself that have gone on to college. Richard Fitz, former Auburn pitcher, who's on the verge of breaking into major leagues. I mean, what was life like at Helena High School?
Hey, man, Helena High School, I always say, man, my high school experience was like a movie, man. It was, we've definitely coming from a small town, you appreciate it. You grow up together, competition, you know, it's a really small town. It's literally the things you see in a movie, honestly. But you have so many people who are, you know, great at what they do, their own craft. Like we talked about Jacob Hillman before we started and what he's been able to do with Auburn and media. Just Helena's a great town and produces a lot of great product in whatever avenue.
All right. Jacob Hillman, by the way, part of the Auburn Sports Network. You see Jacob with us. He does a great job.
Oh, yeah.
High school teammate.
Oh, yeah.
High school man.
Yeah. Got to plug Jacob in there.
All right. I've got to think you were a guard for basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Shooting guard, point guard.
I was a two guard, but I could hold the ball a little bit as well.
Okay. What'd you play in football?
Receiver.
Slot or wide receiver?
I was wide receiver.
Okay.
Yeah, I was my friend Deontay. He was in the slot. He was about 5'8". He was our point guard.
Okay.
Yeah, so I had to be on the outside.
All right. And were you always a jumper in track and field?
Yes, I was always a jumper. When I started in eighth grade, my coach George at the time, she could see what I couldn't see. So she told me to try out high jump. And it was something I was just kind of naturally good at. It's a very unique event, you know, jumping over a bar backwards. But it was something that I was pretty good at. I didn't have the most hops. Like you would see a guy high fly dunking. It wasn't like that. But high jump, I was able to do well. Then by the time I got to my senior year, I was really doing it at a high level. So I had always done it. I did relays and ran and stuff, but
sure.
I knew high jump was going to be the thing.
Pardon the pun here. When was that first big leap
yeah.
for you in high jumping where you thought, you know what, this could lead to just more than mm-hmm. me excelling at Helena High School?
Yeah, I would say probably my state meet. When I was in high school, our jump squad was number one in the country. Like, we actually had two former, Helena's a great place. We had two former Helena jumpers who competed at Auburn as well in the past. And my main teammate competitor, he competed at Louisville. And so my state championship meet, I was able to jump 6'10". We went 1-2 at state. I won state, and then we moved on to the New Balance Nationals meet. It's the biggest track meet for high school athletes, and I finished second in the country. So at that point, I'm doing all this for fun, but I'm like, man, I'm really pretty good at this point. And at that point, I was already committed to Sanford, so I'm like, man, we're rolling with this high jump thing.
When's the first time you jumped 7 foot or better?
So my first time jumping 7 foot, and this is why I tell everybody to embrace their own journey, wasn't until my junior year of college. I was a good average high jumper in college, but I really started to take flight my junior year. And I remember jumping 7 feet like 2 weeks before our conference meet. And from there, I just kept excelling. And for me, I was like, I'm very on to the next thing. Once I first cleared 7 feet, I was like, dang, I could have cleared 7-1. And just looking for the next thing out there.
Won the SoCon title in the high jump of 7 feet 1.5 inches. That qualified for the NCAA indoor nationals for mm-hmm. you. What spurred that junior year, that jump for you, that from, as you call it, maybe mm-hmm. good to average yeah. high jumper to a guy that's going to have a chance to win on the national level?
I think it, you know, Dolores Path is, you know, he writes everybody's story out before you. And I think it started for me back in August. And I talked about my AAU team, my AAU coach at the time, Coach Ty Corals. We talked on the phone and I texted him. I was like, I'm preparing for, you know, trying to make All-American. And he was like, I'm sure you will. And in December the 23rd, 2020, passed away from COVID. And so to me, I kind of had that, you know, the extra motivation and drive to, I want to make the words that he said, you know, come to fruition. And so when I qualified, man, that was such an emotional day. Coming into that track meet, I only had one shot. Like, that was it. I wasn't in the top 16 at that point, and I knew I had to clear something that I have never done in my life to qualify.
Not even in practice.
No, not even in practice. And I qualified on that day, and it was just so great. I was so overwhelmed with emotion, just being able to do it for, you know, him and, you know, people back home in Helena. And I was the last spot qualified in to go to Arkansas for a national championship that I'd never been a part of, and I was so happy.
You set the Sanford record at 7 feet 3, then followed that up with the SoCon record at the outdoor championships mm-hmm. as well. I mean, that just continued to move on up.
Yeah, once you get to a certain point in high jump, you get, or in any sport, once you get a certain level of self-belief, self-confidence, I went into every meet knowing I was going to do what I do. And I didn't look to the next man to be like, oh, I'm just going to beat him. No, I was worried about me, and I knew I could beat myself and keep going better. I actually cleared 7-3 here at Auburn when I was at Sanford, and that was a great time. I was dating a girl on the team at the time, and everybody that knew I came from a smaller school knew what I was about. So being able to come to a big university and being able to show out, all my family was here in PR, that was also great. And that Sanford or that SoCon record I was able to get, I was just having fun with my friends. Like, we were out in the middle of nowhere, Carolina, Western Carolina, nothing but mountains. I remember we were just hanging out. There was a Sonic and there was track, and that's all we had. And having fun out there was just, it was just fun with my, you know, my now lifelong friend. So it was just great memories.
When did Auburn come into the picture for you, Justin?
Heading into my senior year at Sanford, I knew that my time at Sanford was going to come to a close. I was going to graduate. I had more eligibility. I had submitted myself as one of the best high jumpers in the nation. I knew I wanted more. I entered the portal and started taking my visits, looking around, and it was between staying at Sanford, coming to Auburn, going to Georgia, or going to UCLA. And I'm a big educational guy. I did business undergrad. I knew I wanted my MBA. In Auburn, I got into Auburn's MBA program. Mm-hmm. So I knew I was going to come to Auburn immediately. It was checking all the boxes for me.
All of that to say, though, that right now your future is not necessarily in track and field. Mm-hmm. I guess it is a little bit in business, but it is in my world, the
yeah.
media world for you. If you would, let's look at some of the opportunities that you've been given and that you've taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Let's start with College Game Day. that has come to Auburn. How did you make that connection, and what have you done when those when the game day folks have rolled into Neville Arena for those big Auburn basketball games?
When it started out last year, back to last year, the Iron Bowl of basketball, when it came to town, I wanted Jay Billis on my podcast, like my thoughts. And I had no way of getting into contact with Jay Billis. But one of my best friends on campus, Dylan Cardwell, reached out to him for me. Did the podcast, went well. And he was like, hey, do you want a job shadow? Are you going to the game tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, I may be there. And he was like, do you want to come shadow us? I didn't know what shadowing meant. And so I was like, yeah, sure. He told me what time to be there. I showed up. I got to meet everybody. At the time, LaPhonso Ellis was there, Seth Greenberg, and then Reese Davis, who I'm really close with now. And I appreciate that relationship I have. And that kind of sparked everything for me, getting the opportunity to see it firsthand. I was like, man, this is really kind of what I want to do. And things go well. You fast forward to this past fall. That's when things really took off. I saw that game day football was going to Tuscaloosa. And I had Reese Davis' email. I emailed him. And it was crazy. I was watching a college football playoff reveal. During the break, commercial break, he responded to my email. And I was like, this is crazy.
He's live on the air.
Live on the air.
And he responds to your email.
He responds to my email during the break. And I'm like, this is crazy. I had only met him once prior. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm going to Tuscaloosa. Go down there. He embraces me with open arms, introduces me to everybody. Yeah. I meet Pat McAfee, all those different types of people, and just gaining more and more experience. And to, I tell a lot of people, many people, they see job shadowing as like very insignificant. I'm like, man, this is one of the most significant things you can do.
Sure.
And so that sparked all of it.
What did you learn when you were shadowing, whether it was the football game day in Tuscaloosa or the two basketball game days here at Neville Arena? What did you learn? What surprised you?
One thing that stuck out to me was the preparation and how much things go on behind the scenes that you don't see that makes things go so well. One of the senior researchers for ESPN, name's Gil, just seeing his work that he does, and he's not on camera, but there's so many things that go on behind the scenes. And one thing is like, that's not surprised me, but I thought, you know, made me want to even elevate more into this space is the people who were doing it were having fun. This is a passion that they have. And I was always big on finding a job or career path that I had a passion in. And just to seeing the enjoyment that they have is not just punching the clock. So I really enjoyed it. And then experiencing the fans, all the different places they get to go to, like all that's cool to me.
One thing I noticed about game day here this year that I noticed, you were decked out. It was tie time.
We want to get clean now. I'm big on dressing up. You know, people catch me a lot of times in my athletic wear, but I'm big on dressing up. Anytime I get to dress up and you get to look good and have fun, talk about sports, you got to do it right now. But sound like a good job to me.
War Eagle, it's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. Many children and adults that delayed vaccinations during the pandemic are still behind schedule. It's crucial that we take steps to get everyone back on track with their routine immunizations. Children and teens can still catch up on their vaccinations even if they start late. Make sure you and your family are all up to date on all recommended vaccines, including COVID-19 and flu. Let's all do our part to get back on track. Don't wait. Vaccinate. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM.
Your reports that you've done, and I'm not sure, what have you called them when you're out and about, especially on a football weekend?
When I'm out and about, Saturdays was stuck.
Saturday, okay.
Saturday's kind of catchy though, ain't it?
It is. Yeah. Very good. And that's part of it.
Yeah.
What went into those? What were the ideas that you had going in for a home football Saturday?
So one of the biggest things, I wanted to show people what the atmosphere at Auburn looked like. I wanted to incorporate as many people as I can. I figured, you know, when I was growing up, I couldn't always go to a game because, you know, it's far travel or the expenses. A lot of people come to the games just to be around the environment. I wanted people to enjoy Saturdays with Stuck and be a part of it, whether they have a ticket on the 50-yard line in the nosebleeds or they couldn't afford a ticket at all. Right. I wanted to incorporate everybody. So I just started writing down a bunch of ideas that I thought would be cool, questions, getting people involved, showing people different things. I remember my first ever Saturdays with Stuck video, I almost didn't do it. I remember I brought a mic. It was a small mic. And people were getting on me. I was like, bro, did you have a microphone in your hand? I was like, yes, I had a mic in my hand. It was one of those small cube mics. And I had my roommate. I was like, hey, man, will you just film anything I do?
What's his name?
Corey. Shout out Corey. Yeah. Corey McDaniels. He's going to run the world one day. He's a great guy.
Got to run the world.
All right. I'm telling you, he will. He just videoed for me, and I got to show so many different things. And it took off. I think the first video had like 80,000 views, and I was like, well, I might need to keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And so That's how it took off from there. And that transferred to courtside was stuck when I come to basketball games and do it. Volleyball games. I remember I did it at soccer. I did equestrian, gymnastics. So it's turned into a lot of things.
How many folks initially even knew that you were a student athlete at Auburn?
People may have thought I was just a random guy that popped up, honestly. But
good,
then once...
Good-looking guy, though.
Yeah, good-looking right. Now. Come on now. I developed the relationships off the camera because right. I was big on not just having somebody answer a question and me leaving. I wanted to let them know who I was, what I was a part of. And that has gone into so many relationships yeah. out there. Like, a lot of people who tailgate. Now y'all know me now, and I've developed relationships with them, too, and my family comes into town. So they know I do track now, though. They know I'm a student athlete.
Who did your editing for you?
I did it.
Yeah.
I did it, all my editing.
Where did you learn that skill?
It kind of, you know, evolved over time, even from the vlog days, just kind of learning and piecing together, trying to figure out in this world of social media what I feel people would like, and then the look I wanted to present, because I wanted to put something unique. I didn't want to be like everybody else.
On a football Saturday, what's the best tailgate meal that you've had?
Wow. Best tailgate
meal. Because there's
meal.
Some good ones out there.
It really is. I'm going to shout out the track team because the track team did one.
Yes.
My boy Grant, him and his family came in from Louisiana.
Okay.
And they had a spread. Anything you can name was on there. And I was like, I'm not really a big eater on game days that much. I just kind of graze around. I had two plates full of food. Yeah, I'm going to shout out the track team with Grant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
What's next for Justin Stuckey?
We're gonna finish up strong here at Auburn. You know, I've been blessed to be here for 2 years, and my experience here, while it was shorter than the one at Sanford, I feel like it's been very impactful in the short time I've been here. And I'm looking forward to whatever the Lord has for me going into this sports media world, trying to secure a job. I just got back from the Final Four, so that was a great experience as well. And that's continued to help me get better, help develop more relationships, and trying to be a part of all the big things that are happening in sports. I know we have Paris 2024 coming up. Being a part of that in any type of way is always great. I would love to be able to do something out there. But I was telling somebody today, having a career where I'm able to make an impact, make a living for myself and my future family, and be happy. Mm-hmm. I talked about how one thing I noticed, how everybody was doing their job. They were happy about doing their job. I think that's the biggest thing for me in whatever avenue I get into. I know just like I'm a student athlete here, but I do so many things. I know in life, I'm going to be wearing a lot of different hats. So whatever hat I wear, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability at that time.
You've had to deal with some setbacks from an athletic standpoint. I mean, folks can perhaps see the
great scar
the knee injury right there. How did that come about, and how did you deal with that?
You know, being a guy who, for a majority of my life, has always been, quote unquote, the guy when it comes to athletics, right. It definitely puts things in perspective. They always talk about, you know, in the Christian community, not putting your identity in being an athlete, putting your identity in Christ. I had to learn that firsthand going through a significant knee injury. My time at Auburn, while I had one plan when it came to athletics, it's gone a completely different route, and that's okay.
Right.
I haven't been able to be coming in here as that guy, a guy expected to win a national championship with all the All-American titles. I wasn't able to do that during my time. And I had to learn and understand that there's more to life. There's more to, you know, other situations. I think I did a great job of not letting the knee injury keep me down and keep me from living and enjoying my life and doing everything else I can do. Because while I wasn't being able to compete, I was able to hone in my craft with the media and being able to meet people, make experiences, understanding, man, athletics, no matter if I was to win a national championship here, athletics would eventually end. And what was I going to do after that point in time? And it really just allowed me to enjoy Auburn and the Auburn family.
How did your time at the Final Four out in Phoenix, how did that come about?
The injury, honestly. And that's what I think is so crazy. Anybody who knows me knows I love the Lord and I love his humor in a lot of things. And tearing my knee allowed me to go speak to an FCA here in Auburn at the middle school about, you know, having your identity in Christ rather than in your sport. That time there, Miss Carrie Fellows, who runs it, she introduced me to a lady who worked at TNT, just a normal general conversation on a Zoom. After that, about 2 hours later, she sent me the opportunity that they had about the Final Four. And so I applied. I knew I wasn't going to be competing that weekend. So I applied, sent in my resume, had an interview. The next day I got it. So that's quick turnaround, but it was definitely was a blessing. And I was like, man, this is great. And I knew what the experience was. But once you're in that experience, it's a whole completely different ball game. Yep. I did well. I was only supposed to have one segment Saturday, but I did well, and the producer gave me another one on the national championship day. And I also did a video for Bleacher Report. So many great opportunities and blessings there that, you know, really stem from getting hurt and having to humble myself and talk to the next generation. I was telling somebody, when you go through struggles, it's not even always about you. It's about the other people you can help. And I was doing something where I could give some wisdom and knowledge to the younger generation of Christian athletes, and that ultimately ended up blessing me with an opportunity to do something.
What were your segments at the Final Four?
The first segment, it was in the pregame show on the first day with all four teams playing. I interviewed TJ Warren, who was a NC State legend, currently plays for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and that was great. And it was supposed to be Deebo Samuel from the 49ers. It switched on me like 15 minutes before. So that's the showbiz, everybody. That's what happens like that.
Gotta be flexible.
Gotta be ready. Yeah. And so it flipped on me. It went flawless. And what's crazy was my IFBs in my ear were messing up. And it looked great. Like, the interview went great, but it was a lot of stuff behind the scenes they didn't know. So the producer, I guess, you know, thought I did well. So the next production meeting, he stands up and was like, hey, we're going to let Justin go again. And so I got to interview Rip Hamilton, who was a UConn legend, right, NBA guy. That was great. And I think the thing that was coolest to me was I was in Buffalo Wild Wings on TV screens. I thought that was the coolest thing to me. I had people sending videos and pictures. I was like, man, I used to talk about Helena, man. We used to go across town and go to Buffalo Wild Wings. And that used to be like, man, Ruth's Chris to us.
Sure.
And so seeing that and watching sports and knowing that I was able to be on there for a little bit of time was cool to me.
Did your phone blow up?
Yes. I put my phone on Do Not Disturb.
Good
and
idea.
Then once I got right off air and got my phone back, I had a lot of messages. But it was great to see people who were supporting. You know, in this world, we got so much comparison, so many people that are envious of people. And I had some people who were cheering me on. So I thought that was cool, too, especially, you know, where we live in, everybody wants to be one up in somebody. I just was loving the support.
Are there any more something, fill in the blank, with Stuckey left for you at Auburn?
Oh, yeah, man. We got a lot of stuff coming
up. Okay, tell us about it.
Well, I did a lot of it in the first half, and I know we've been competing with track and field, so I haven't been able to do it as much, but we got softball going on, we got baseball going on. Yeah, I always got the content ideas, you know, flowing into mind.
That's good.
Yeah.
Don't let those stop.
Yes, sir.
Ideally, Justin. Mm-hmm. And boy, you're on the brink of your the rest of your life now. Ideally, what would you like? And again, we have no idea what the script is being written.
Yeah.
Where it could take you. But ideally, what would you like to be doing?
I would definitely like to be on camera as an on-air talent. Whether I'm in the host seat or the analyst seat, I feel like I've gained a strong knowledge for sports and through my experiences. And really, for me, as being a previous athlete, I want to highlight the athletes in a respectable manner and bring more attention to all sports. Like, my Saturdays with Stuck have gone from football, who's one of the most recognizable sports, all the way to equestrian. So I really want to make an impact in the sports media world, however I can, fit it in and, you know, just continue to be the best version of me. Like, I want to be the best I can be, and then everybody else can have their own judgment of how I did overall.
Talk about your family, if you would, Justin.
Oh, yeah, man. Love my family. I come from Helena, Alabama, small town. And, you know, growing up, my parents were divorced, but I was able to be with both sides of my family. Significant. Raised in the church, shown, you know, how to live a strong Christian life and learning from my parents' experiences, you know, and being kind of a role model, you know, to my younger siblings. And, man, I love my family. They've been supportive. My birthday was Monday, and they drove from Birmingham to Auburn for a dinner that started at 7 and then drove all the way back the same night. So just the support I have, man, it can't be duplicated, and I'm always going to be appreciative. They've been with me through whether I'm finishing on my third All-American title, whether I'm at the Olympic trials, or whether I'm on a surgery table. You know, they're always going to be supporting through my highs and my lows, so appreciate them. I have an older stepbrother, and all of my other siblings are younger. I have a younger stepbrother, and then two younger sisters.
I wish you nothing but the best moving forward. I look forward to what is in the future for Justin Stuckey.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you being with us today.
Yes, sir, thank you.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
for Justin Stuckey and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health. I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.